Life is very unusual. This is a book about uncertainty. To this author, the rare event equals uncertainty. This may seem like a strong statement, that we need to principally study the rare and extreme events in order to figure out common ones, but I'll make myself clear as follows. There are two possible ways to approach phenomena. The first is to rule out the extraordinary and focus on the normal. The examiner leaves aside outliers and studies ordinary cases. The second approach is to consider that in order to understand a phenomenon, one needs first to consider the extremes, particularly if, like the black swan, they carry an extraordinary cumulative effect. I don't particularly care about the usual. If you want to get an idea of a friend's temperament, ethics, and personal elegance, you need to look at him under the tests of severe circumstances, not under the regular rosy glow of daily life. Can you assess the danger a criminal poses by examining only what he does on an ordinary day? Can we understand health without considering wild diseases and epidemics? Indeed, the normal is often irrelevant. Almost everything in social life is produced by rare but consequential shocks and jumps. All the while, almost everything studied about social life focuses on the normal, particularly with bell curve methods of inference that tell you close to nothing. Why? Because the bell curve ignores large deviations, cannot handle them, yet makes us confident that we have tamed uncertainty. Its nickname in this book is GIF, Great Intellectual Fraud. Plato and the Nerd. At the start of the Jewish revolt in the first century of our era, much of the Jews' anger was caused by the Romans' insistence on putting a statue of Caligula in their temple in Jerusalem in exchange for placing a statue of the Jewish god Yahweh in Roman temples. The Romans did not realize that what the Jews and the subsequent Levantine monotheists meant by God was abstract, all-embracing, and had nothing to do with the anthropomorphic, two-human representation that Romans had in mind when they said Deus. Critically, the Jewish god did not lend himself to symbolic representation. Likewise, what many people commoditize and label as unknown, improbable, or uncertain is not the same thing to me. It is not a concrete and precise category of knowledge, a nerdified field, but its opposite. It's the lack and limitations of knowledge. It's the exact contrary of knowledge. One should learn to avoid using terms made for knowledge to describe its opposite. What I call Platonicity, after the ideas and personality of the philosopher Plato, is our tendency to mistake the map for the territory, to focus on pure and well-defined forms, whether objects like triangles or social notions like utopias, societies built according to some blueprint of what makes sense, even nationalities. When these ideas and crisp constructs inhabit our minds, we privilege them over other less elegant objects, those with messier and less tractable structures, an idea that I will elaborate progressively throughout this book. Platonicity is what makes us think that we understand more than we actually do. But this does not happen everywhere. I am not saying that Platonic forms don't exist. Models and constructions, these intellectual maps of reality, aren't always wrong. They're wrong only in some specific applications. The difficulty is that A, you do not know beforehand, only after the fact, where the map will be wrong, and B, the mistakes can lead to severe consequences. These models are like potentially helpful medicines that carry random but very severe side effects. The Platonic fold is the explosive boundary where the Platonic mindset enters in contact with messy reality, where the gap between what you know and what you think you know becomes dangerously wide. It's here that the black swan is produced.